welcome to the UK's number one retro gaming podcast. This is episode 308. And joining me is Mads, Steve, and for the first time recording with me, I think, Mark.
And me.
That's me.
And Steve, yeah. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you guys?
We're good. I think. I'm good anyway. Yeah. I don't know about the other two.
Pretty good.
You get Steve and Dean. The very first time, Mark, it's going to be tough on you.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'm going to get a hazing today, aren't I?
Oh, yeah.
Not just that, he's going to have trouble understanding me and Steve because they're
And obviously the thrill and excitement of being on the show with us has got to be quite overwhelming.
It is. You guys are my heroes, you know?
Oh, man. That's no
legends.
Problem.
Legends.
You're our hero. You've been great on the past few episodes, by the way.
I appreciate that. Yeah, no, it's actually really weird being on
like
an episode.
It's been like a shadowy flight into a life that's right. Or how did it go? Come on, you must know it off by heart.
I don't know by heart. I should.
Come on, I should have checked this out earlier. I meant to, and I forgot.
A shadowy flight into the life of a man who does not exist.
That's impressive. That's it.
Damn.
Something
that's
like
right.
That.
Yeah, you lost me completely, but I'm guessing we're talking Knight Rider.
Of we course. Are. Yes.
Yes,
okay.
Yes, Michael.
I love
no,
this game.
No, but Mark has gone down a storm with the listeners. Everybody's been loving him, so that's all good.
Now it's got a great team of listeners. I still am one, you know. So I mean, yeah, it's weird being on with you guys though, and half the time I'm on with Chris and Mads. I'm listening and I'm like, oh, I'm actually here. Instead of, it's actually not me listening to a podcast. It's really weird, man. It's really, really weird.
Yeah.
It's good, though. It's pretty
and
good.
And for anyone joining in for the first time, the Knight Rider references is because Mark is a big Knight Rider fan, as is Steve. And
oh, yes.
I know Mads was really into it, weren't you, Mads? No.
No. I've never seen a single episode of Knight Rider.
I should
do that at some point.
Wow.
You should.
Mads. We'll get a list of like maybe like the top 5 episodes or something.
The top 50 episodes.
Isn't,
and you've got to watch them
the entire season or series.
That's all of them. Yeah.
It's all of it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, Mads. So I think Mads is more of a Hasselhoff fan because how many Baywatches have you watched?
Not a lot, mate. Not a lot.
More than Knight Rider.
Yes, definitely, because my wife used to watch Baywatch, so I definitely watched a few episodes of that. But that had something, I mean, there was something there for me as well, definitely.
Yeah. Love the slow motion scenes.
Slow motion running was very good. Just the half and his muscles bouncing, it was just beautiful.
Oh, yeah,
beautiful.
That's what you was tuning in for.
Yeah, that was that's all I was looking at, mate.
Bounce mechanics. Yeah.
Yes.
To be fair, man, you're like our Hoff.
You're
the Hoff of the Retro Asylum. You are, man. You're our beefcake. We need to film you
thing.
In slow motion running into a canal.
We'll set that up, mate. We'll set that up just for you.
I love it.
Okay, so this episode is a bit of a catch-up, so I don't think there's any definitive theme. So there's going to be talk about
waffle.
What we've been getting up to. Yeah, a load of waffle. So, Mads, on to you first, I think.
Yeah?
Yeah, I'm going to pick on you.
So, retro gaming-wise, I am currently playing something that isn't really a retro game, but very much feels like it. So the author, I think I mentioned this on the last episode, but the author of Goblins came back and kickstarted the fifth entry in the series, and he released that just 2 weeks ago, something like that. And I'm working my way through Goblins 5, and man, that's a great, great game. You wouldn't like it because it's a point-and-click adventure, but it's more of a puzzler, really, like a single-scene puzzler. And
it's probably too intelligent for the likes of us.
Oh, no, there's not much intelligence here, not at all. But it's a lot of fun, and I love the graphic style. So that's actually, retro gaming-wise, what I've been up to. And apart from that, still playing with my
Keep it
pocket.
Clean. Oh, right, okay.
Still playing with my analog pocket, loving that. Actually looking at getting a few more cartridges because I do prefer the filters on the built-in core. So when you load in ROMs, it's the OpenFPGA scene that you're looking into. You're getting the cores from there, and they don't have the same display filters as the the ones from Analog, I mean, the official cores, FPGA cores on there. So I really, really like the original or the official filters that look like a Game Boy or a Game Boy Pocket.
It does make a big difference, I think.
Yeah, it really does. It makes it look just right with those filters. And as I think I've mentioned before, the Analog Pocket has exactly the 10 times the resolution of the Game Boy. So that display is perfect for doing filters for the Game Boy, of course, and still having them more or less pixel perfect. Yeah. So I'm looking into getting my hands on a few, just card only. I don't want to collect anything that I don't want to play, just card only so I can play some games. Actually, I don't even own a copy of Tetris. Because
really,
yeah,
I still maintain that's one of the best handheld games. I was playing it the other night. My boy didn't want to go up to bed on his own. He'd been watching something that freaked him out a bit. So I went and sat up there and I was just playing Tetris on my original Game Boy, which has got a nice screen in it.
Mm.
And sometimes, you know, you forget how good these games are.
So addictive.
I can get quite good at Tetris. You know, if I spend a bit of time with it, I was on it for. I sat up there for nearly an hour and a half. He'd been asleep after 5 minutes.
You just kept rolling.
Yeah,
I just kept on rolling.
Went with it.
Yeah, nice, nice. No, that is a wonderful game. I lost maybe my 10 favorite Game Boy games. I lent to a friend who then, after having them for like 6 months, lent them to one of his friends that I didn't even know and lost them. And I've never seen them since. So I don't have Super Mario Land anymore, or Super Mario Bros. Is it called the first one? And I don't have Tetris and all those like really, really common Game Boy games. I don't even have it anymore. So I need to get my hands on those again.
I think they're pretty cheap, man. I don't think those are very expensive.
They definitely are. Yeah. I'm going to have a look around at some point. Yeah. But yeah.
Yeah,
that's not a proper friend, Mads.
Well, we've all heard the story of me lending my friends the majority of my Atari 2600 collection, and he died. And I couldn't get him back, obviously.
Selfish.
14. Yeah, very selfish, I thought.
I'll take that back. That's not funny. I'll take that back.
Well, I wasn't best pleased either. Selfish me, but never mind. Mm. He did fall off a roof after sniffing gas, so it was his own fault.
Oh, no, damn.
Man. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Wow. I do remember the story from one of those episodes.
Yeah. Moral of the story is don't lend your games to people who take drugs.
There you go.
Drugs are bad.
Are you still coding?
That's the moral of my story as well, because that was definitely what was going on with my friend. But
are you still coding for your Game Boy game, Mads?
I haven't had the time, actually, but I'm thinking about it while I'm not coding, so I have some really good ideas of actually what I'll be coding next is probably not the game itself, but a level designer for the game, because it needs to be easy to design and test the levels. So and that's going to be a pain on something that's written in pure C and a bit of assembler. So I want to build a simple level designer. That's the next step.
Cool.
Yeah. Nice.
I wish I'd know how to program. I really do.
So the Game Boy stuff here is actually not that hard. So I bet you could get into it.
Maybe
you should pick up some Pico 8. That'd be better.
Yeah, that's something I would like to try. It does sound like the spirits, doesn't it? Timing, eh? Timing, knock, knock, knock. Neighbours, don't you just love them?
What are they doing, Dino? Just to clarify to the listeners, this tapping noise you can hear in the background is someone. It's a small woodpecker trying to break into Dean's shed.
Unfortunately, my shed is right next to where they're doing something at the moment. So, what can you do? I can't go and moan, can I? I'm recording Retro Asylum at the moment. Do you mind?
True.
Never mind. Hopefully, we can do something with the audio. Or cut me out of this completely.
Well, just leave it in. It's funny. There it is.
Ambience, mate. Ambience.
There it is.
This is going to be the most annoying episode to listen to.
Dean, are you trying to send us an SOS in Morse code?
Yeah.
I'm
not using my hands. What am I using?
Your wife locked you in the shed.
Yeah, it's really a dead... I've caught someone and, I've got to try to get out. A prisoner. All right, Steve, what have you been up to? Apart from, making music and videos and stuff.
Well, that was it. Thanks for that.
Oh, sorry.
That was my answer. Thanks for taking my answer off me.
Gaming related.
So, doing the music, doing the video. What did you think? I mean, Dean, I got you in it. Well, I got the podcast in it.
Yeah, the podcast was in it. Yeah, not enough. I should have been in it with
I'll tell you what. I'm just going to replace
everyone
me
should
with
have been
you next
wearing
time.
Retro Asylum t-shirts. It's not good enough, Steve. I'm sorry.
So for the listeners, a few episodes ago when I talked about making a video, all Dino talked about was, when are we in it? How are you getting us into it? How is there going to be a flyer for Retro Asylum in it? So I did it. I got us in it. But not enough, obviously.
Never enough. It's never enough. No.
I did my best.
It's a great video, though. It's very retro gaming themed.
That was the idea.
Mm. So I mean, the director sent you just some asked, of these.
You should. I mean, that's what kind
of
ended up in it.
But,
yeah. The director's just looking at me blankly when I'm going, can you stick this flyer on the wall? What is it?
It's very important.
It's for a podcast. Why? Just do it.
Listen, any decent arcade will have a Retro Asylum flyer in it, surely.
Well, exactly. So we've done that. That's gone down pretty well. We got 1,000 hits in a week, which is awesome. The song's doing great. That's had over 12,500 listens so far, which is awesome. It's been getting about 1,000 a day, so really happy with that. Retro gaming-wise, I bought a... knock, 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 knock. Sorry, Dino. Just keep hearing it. I bought a Miu Mini Plus.
Yes, so did I.
Is yours working now?
It is working now, yes.
Have you fixed it?
I fixed it, yeah. It's only one file I had to delete.
What was it? And that brought it all back together again?
Yeah, it brought it all back together, yeah. It's just the last Pico 8 file I used, because it does a little save when you exit out of it. Must have been corrupt.
Ah, okay. So for the listeners, the Pico 8, the Miu Mini Plus is basically a little retro gaming handheld, looks a bit like a Game Boy. Very similar to the Game Boy.
Yeah.
They initially brought out one called just the Miu Mini, which was a tiny little one, like two-thirds the size of that one. So this one now is like the size of a Game Boy-ish with a 3.5-inch screen.
I'd say it's a lot smaller than a Game Boy.
This one? The screen isn't?
No, the screen isn't, but the actual unit itself is...
It's a bit shorter,
small,
isn't it?
Yeah. Quite a bit shorter.
But it does everything. So it's got an OS. It's Linux. It's got an OS on it called Onion OS, and it'll do everything all the way up to PlayStation 1 really pretty much perfectly. Save states and all the rest of it. So I picked one up to play Pico 8 games on originally and some Game Boy games. And I have just been working my way through stuff I used to love. It was Dean's fault talking about RoboCop ages ago on the Game Boy.
Yeah.
I got it.
Better
I got
than
a Game
the
arcade. Boy. Yeah. Better than the arcade. I initially got a Game Boy Pocket with an LCD screen in it, which was really good. And then I ended up selling that and picking up this so I could play even more stuff. And it's I love it. It's absolutely awesome. So I've been playing through classic games that I used to play and I used to love. I've completed RoboCop. I've completed Contra. I've completed Super Mario World, which took 25 minutes. Pet Hate for Mads. And I'm currently playing Cloud Master, which is a shoot 'em up on the Sega Master System.
Oh, yeah. We played that together like years ago for an episode, I remember.
It's a cool little game. It's quite a tough little shooter.
Yeah, it's a great little shooter.
Yeah, I'm loving it. I'm loving it. So it's just a great little way of like just pick up and play basically when you go to the toilet for a poo.
lovely.
You just sit, you know, I go up for, 5 minutes and I'm there for an hour.
You should see freezing. The doctor about that, mate.
Yeah, piles. It's worth it. But what it's made me want, and I was talking to you guys the other day about this, is I want to get a Steam Deck.
Mm.
So what I want really is I've got the Miu Mini, which is awesome for throwing in your bag. It's dead small. Like I say, playing
on the toilet. For the price, they're very good, I think.
It's cheap as well. Well, if you can get hold of them. Where did you get yours from, Dino?
eBay.
eBay? And how much was it?
It was 80. So you are paying a bit more. What are they, 60 normally? About 60
quid.
Yeah,
well, you can't get them.
No.
So you're looking at about 80.
Because all these people are getting them, but, you know, you're paying an extra 20 quid. It saves you staying up all night trying to get them on wherever you do get them from.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing. Mine was 80 as well. I saw it on a Facebook marketplace for 90, and I bargained the guy down to 80, which he was happy with. But it's awesome. It's just a great little bit of kit. But what I want is I want that one for on the go. So for take it into work, leave it in my bag. I've got 10 minutes spare. I'm on my break. I can have a quick play on it. And I want something a bit more substantial for on the couch. You know, if I'm watching the telly and I just fancy sitting there and playing something for 20 minutes, I want something with a nice big screen, like basically like the Rolls Royce of handhelds. So I've been looking around and it just seems to be that the Steam Deck is the one to go for.
How much are they now?
I've been looking on like secondhand, about 280 to 300 for the like 256 model.
That's not too bad.
It's not bad. On the site, the 300 for the base model.
I'd have to sell a kid for that. That's the only thing. Well, I haven't got that kind of money. But yeah, no, if you have, why not?
Yeah, I'll get me work bonus next month. So I just thought, you know what? I'm going to treat myself to something.
Yourself.
Little gadget or something. So that's on the horizon. So I'm loving that. What are you, have you two guys got a Steam Deck? I know Mads has got one. What about you, Mark?
No, I bought a Switch, you know, to kind of do that handheld thing a long while back, and I hardly ever touch it. It's perfect.
You've got like 5 arcade machines in your house.
But that's it. That's it.
That'll be why.
He doesn't need little handheld things.
Exactly.
He's got the
arcade.
That's right. That's right. I don't know. The Steam Deck intrigues me and it appeals to me, but I don't know if I would use it, you know?
Well, my Steam Deck is probably what I play most games on, both modern and retro. Yeah. It's a beast of a little machine. It's got a beautiful screen and it's got great controls. It suits my hands really well.
How's it feel with the D-pad? It's up in the corner, isn't it? How does the D-pad feel on it? Because it's up on the top left-hand corner.
It's fine. I've never thought about it. It just works.
Just good.
I've used that for playing like Amiga games or C64 games. Just works. Yeah.
Okay. Huh. I'm sold. I'm going to get one.
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good. That and the analog pocket, and I'm happy. I don't need anything else, I think.
Well, I mean, the thing is, I'm going to use the
Steam Deck. They're the two premium handhelds, aren't they, really?
Yeah, they are.
Well, yeah. I did contact Analog to see if they'd send me a review unit.
Yeah.
Good luck.
I said, look, we've got videos up with 11, 12 views. you know... Send us one over and I'll definitely maybe do a video on it and possibly might send it back. We'll see. And they just didn't answer me. I don't know why.
That's weird.
That is
strange. Really weird. But yeah, I mean, the funny thing is with the Steam Deck, is I'm only going to emulate on it. I've got no intention of like modern gaming on it, Steam games on it. I'm not bothered. I just want like a premium device that will play all the emulation stuff on a big screen. But that's my plan with it.
That'll be a TV. Just plug your mister in and...
Well, that's upstairs. You see, that's the...
Get another one. It's probably cheaper.
Do you know what? I tried the mouse spinner today and it didn't work.
Really?
Doing something wrong.
The screw is too big. I've been told that before.
hang on. Sam, look. As usual, we're in a right mess here. But the screw only goes on a bit of Velcro. You ain't screwed it into the mouse, have you?
No. But I didn't have
that would break the mouse.
No, I didn't screw it into the mouse. The only screw I had didn't have a flat head Phillips. It had like a round head Phillips, which means it's bumping up a bit. But it's not flush. It's bumping up a little bit. And it means that it's not level with the laser or the LED.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. People have no idea what we're talking about.
No.
Not the slightest
radio. Well,
they should do. They should do. This should be world famous. This is the DIY spinner made out of an optical mouse and a milk bottle lid with a bit of Velcro and a screw. That is all you need. And it is perfect. Well, for a couple of
mine.
Yeah, unless it's yours, But no, it works really, really well. As seen on our YouTube video, and it has had more than 11 views.
Love it.
Playing Arkanoid or?
Yeah.
Playing Arkanoid, yes.
Yeah, of course.
I got it to work a little bit because I pushed it down onto the thing, and it for a split second it was working, and I was like, this is really cool, and then it stopped working again. I just need to get a different screw.
Yeah. I'm sure you'll find one.
Yeah.
Sell that one and buy another.
Buy another screw.
Yeah.
Mark, what have you been up to?
Go on.
Apart from driving rounds in that lovely Moser of yours.
Yes. Gosh. Well, I've been playing the game this month, which is Panzer Dragoon Orta. And
it's no Blade Runner.
Nope, it's definitely not Blade Runner. Nope, it is definitely. but that game, it's really good. And then I got to level 8, the 8 boss last night. And, you know, this is a family podcast, but I was not very pleasant with my words on Discord. The boss is impossible. And I'm playing this thing on easy. This trying to get through it. I don't know. Did you guys ever play Panzer Dragoon on the Sega Saturn?
I didn't. I remember my cousin had it. And it was one of those moments where you, because it was, you know, visually stunning at the time.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for him to say, yeah, I'll have a go. And he never did. So I didn't have a Saturn at the time. So I just sat there watching him play it. Great fun.
Oh, that's fun. That sounds like a fun afternoon.
It was early YouTube without YouTube.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. What about you, Steve? You ever play mess with the Saturn?
My mate had one. He got one, I think, was it just before PlayStation came out? I can't remember. I went down to his house anyway, and he had it, and I was like, that's so cool. And I've had one go of Panzer Dragoon, and I thought it was awesome at the time. It's an on-rail shooter, isn't it? You're just flying, basically, on rails, and you just spin around and shoot everything as you play. I thought it was super cool at the time, but I've had a look of it on YouTube since, and I was like, it doesn't age quite as well as I thought. Yeah. How are you guys finding it? I know you don't want to dive in too much because you want to talk about it, but...
So it's not completely on rails in Orta. I mean, it is an on-rail shooter, but you do have some freedom. Like you have three different dragons you can choose between, and you switch between them while you're flying, and they have different like mechanics. Some of them, well, the small one can like dash or evade three or four times in a row, and the biggest one can't, and the middle one can once or twice, and then there's a difference in how much damage they do. So you need to be switching between the dragons, you need to be dashing left or right and up or down, and then it's just an on-rail shooter. So shoot stuff you find while you're trying to traverse the environment there. So yeah, it's not my kind of game so far, but I will give it more time.
Yeah, it should be. It's really cool. I find what's crazy is if you have a modern... Xbox, like the Series X, it plays in 4K and up-reses all the graphics. It looks like a modern game. It does not look like a modern game on the original Xbox that I'm playing now. But I was watching a 4K YouTube video of it, and I was like, holy smokes, this thing looks awesome. But I don't have a Series X, so by old school, it's still modern, right, Dean? Xbox, I mean, give me a break. Right.
We'll get to that in just a few minutes, so...
How did we sneak Xbox into the retro asylum? Oh man, you gotta bloody yank here and bring an Xbox into it, man.
Let's just throw Chris under the bus because he's not here. It was him.
It was him. It wasn't me. Chris. It was totally Chris.
Damn Chris and his modern gaming.
That's right. Yeah.
Mads, have you played any of the Game Club games, and have you liked, not have you played them, have you liked any of them?
Secret's there, he plays nothing.
No, liked was the word I went to say. Because every time I like listen in, basically you go, I don't like it, this is crap, Radiators, don't like it, Blade Runner, don't like it.
I'd say
half of the games I like. Something along those lines. But I just say, I mean, I want to be honest. So I say how I feel about the game. So, and actually, we've had quite a few that I just didn't gel with recently. But we've had lots of games that I loved as well. So yes, definitely.
It would be boring if you liked every game you played, wouldn't it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, we loved Sonic. Sonic was a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. So we've actually spoilers. We're getting Jim back, and I haven't told you yet, I think, Mark, but I've enlisted you as well. You and I, we will be exposed to a 16-bit Sonic game this time. See if he can teach us to love that instead.
All right. Sonic's a mess, man.
Yes, definitely.
Just an uncontrollable mess.
It looks worse. It could be Zool.
But yeah, true. Now let's see. We'll let Jim decide which game to play this time. It's not going up for vote. He gets to pick whichever 16-bit Sonic he thinks is the pinnacle of Sonic gaming on the 16-bit consoles, and then we'll play that.
Didn't Jim choose the Master System version last time?
No, we put that up for the vote. He chose three or four candidates, and we put it up for a vote. And I think it actually ended up being his favorite of the 8-bits, actually, the one we played. Wasn't it, Mark?
I believe so, if I remember right. We should have played Tails Adventure, I think.
Yeah, yeah. That looked a lot better.
Oh, well.
I mean, you guys get tortured that often. I'm starting to think the Discord people don't like you. They just do it on purpose. They go, what's this on the... Oh, that looks bad. Looks bad. Pick that one.
I think that's how Blade Runner got picked.
Could have been.
What was quite telling there, Mark, was that you kind of didn't mind it from what you said in the episode.
Yeah, I did like it. I think the only part I just hate getting stuck in these games. Mm. You know, you get to a point where, and I wasn't the only one. You get to a point where you're just walking to every screen that you can walk to, and you can't figure out what you're to do next.
That's just all point and click games ever made.
What's wrong with them? I did enjoy the Day of the Tentacle, but I used a guide. I had to cheat on that one too. So, you know.
But I find it interesting that you quite liked it, in the fact that I remember liking it. And I'm not a point and click guy, and I am not an adventure, an RPG style adventure game, puzzle game. It's not me at all. And the fact that you were the only one in that who was playing it was just basically saying, I quite like this.
Yeah.
That made me think maybe we're on the same level.
Well, probably. Yeah. Because I think the traditional point and click adventure, it's just not for me. My brain doesn't work like that, you know. But
we're going to have you playing a lot more of those, Mark, so you can learn to enjoy them. We're going to do what's called Clockwork Orange style playing of point and clicks.
We literally got Chris in as a host because I didn't want to play point and clicks with Mads. Literally, that's how we got him. It was just like, Mads, do you want to play this? No. Steve, do you want to play this? No. Right, we need someone else for this game club.
Well, I was playing point and clicks with the original Chris as well. So we did episode on Discord games, for example.
That's right. Discworld.
Discworld, yeah. That's right.
I'd love to hear them two have a nerd off.
Chris versus Chris.
Chris 1 versus Chris 2. Fight.
Yeah. That would actually make a fun episode. Let's see if they could actually have them each pick some like similar genre games, and then we can.
I know, but I'd like them to like really, really outdo each other. Like, what's your most crazy RPG, really hard, too many instructions game versus your really hard? I reckon that'd be. You know, like, you've got to sit and play it with like 5 dice and 2 mice, you know, and that, and like, you can't look at a screen, you've just got to do it with text. I don't know. I reckon that'd be interesting, those two going for it.
Head to head, yeah.
Head to head, yeah. That'd be interesting. Yeah. Because Chris Version 1's very much, isn't he? I mean, he's part of, I think he's a part of a board games club, and he goes and does board gaming and all that. He's part of a cult. but I've seen him like backing stuff on Kickstarters of new board games with, like, you know, you've got a 55-sided dice and all this stuff, which is really cool. You know what I mean? It's not for me, but I think it's damn awesome. But straight
where they're like pulling out the measuring tape and on the board and measuring their little figures and that stuff makes no sense to me.
Same.
So I've never played any of those, but all of the regular big board games I'm trying to get into, actually. I'm a member of a board game club now, so every first Monday of the month we get together and play board games. So I'm trying to get into some of that stuff.
Monopoly? It's
great fun.
Monopoly.
What? Scrabble?
Snakes and Ladders.
Yes.
Operation. Operation.
Wackaroo.
Kaplunk.
So we actually right now playing the very, very classic Hero Quest, playing through that. So,
is this a local,
good fun.
Like a local group to you?
Yeah,
or is that online?
No kidding. It's a group I made. It's me and six, seven colleagues. We get together every Monday. The work pays for the food and beers, and we play some games.
that's perfect.
The question is, though, Mads, are they real?
They are. They are very real
people. Yeah, yes. I've just made this up. Just gone to visit my 6 friends.
Well, I sit there by myself drinking all the beers.
Yeah. I'll need beer for 6. No, that's cool, man. So is that a board game as well, HeroQuest? Did you say it was HeroQuest?
Yeah.
It's a board game version as well.
There was a computer game of that as well, wasn't there? That's what I thought,
yeah. Yeah, it was.
By Gremlin years ago. Cool.
Yeah, but HeroQuest is definitely a very, very fun and classic board game. So, yeah. I've never played any of those before, but it's good fun.
I like it.
Yeah. So, guys, I've got something for you here. I was thinking we need to drag RA kicking and screaming into the new modern times. So I've been speaking a bit with ChatGPT. I've got a little ChatGPT quiz for you.
Okay.
I've just been asking questions about us, the Retro Asylum, and retro gaming as such. So you guys just need to discuss amongst yourselves and find out what ChatGPT would answer these questions with.
Okay.
You ready?
All right.
Yeah. Okay.
Let's do this.
So the first one is, if you ask ChatGPT who the hosts of Retro Asylum is, you actually only get three hosts, whereof only two are current hosts. Can you guess who?
I'm going to say none of the answers to any of these questions are Matt.
I would guess it probably would be Dane, and Steve, because Steve's been on forever.
I know, Dane, but Steve. I bet you it's...
How many third?
Mods? Three.
So it gave me three hosts, but only two of those are current hosts. So you just need to guess the two current hosts.
Oh, the two current. I would say the two that are on.
Nope.
No. Dean.
One of them. Do I even get mentioned?
Dean is there. Dean is there.
I've been here since day one. Dean. Didn't you hear the knocking earlier? They're still trying to escape.
Not Andy Godoy.
No. So yeah, I asked, of course, who are the hosts, so it would look at active hosts, I guess.
It's
Dean and Chris.
Okay.
Dean and Chris are the only ones who get a mention. I asked if Steve Erickson was a part of the RA, but no, not at all. Mads Christensen, never heard of him. So no. Dean and Chris are the only ones hosting the Retro Asylum at the moment. So I from there I went on and asked it, what is Dean Swain's favorite game then?
It's got to get this right.
Double Dragon.
No.
it's Blade Runner.
It's an RPG, isn't it?
It's an Amiga game. It's an Amiga game, and it's not an RPG.
Give us
it's a sports game. It's a sports game.
It's definitely not right then.
Speedball.
No.
Good, no, the sports good game on the Amiga.
FIFA. Sensible Soccer.
No, not FIFA.
Sensible Soccer. It says
I hate Sensible Soccer.
Yeah, but it says, though, Dean Swain, one of the hosts of Retro Asylum, has mentioned Sensible Soccer as one of his favorite games multiple times on the podcast.
No, I haven't. Bloody lies.
It does just make stuff up.
It does. It makes it all seem very, very believable, the way it writes it, because it's so eloquently written.
Yeah,
so
but you isn't think, that that's worrying? Probably right. British Telecom have just sacked, or they're going to make redundant 55,000 people redundant, and they're relying on AI. And AI doesn't even know I like Double Dragon.
No,
it's bonkers. It just sounds like it knows what it's talking about when it doesn't.
Yeah, exactly. I've had this. A lot of my colleagues have tried using this for work, for programming work as well, and it just. I mean, asking it hard technical questions, it comes up with these things that looks just right, and it's complete nonsense. Like one out of, well, actually 50% of the time, it's just complete nonsense. But it just feels just right. So all of my junior developers, they just copy paste that code in there, and they spend hours trying to debug them.
Yeah, I asked it to write me a scrolling routine for the C64.
Yeah,
and it come back, and it just looked perfect. This, go to this, you know, give me all the, it looked like it was machine code. It looked amazing. I was like, wow. I just copied it, pasted it onto the C64, typed run, and it just went syntax error. Just didn't work. just make shit up. Honest to God. Well. Like you just said there, like BT are going to use AI instead of having people to answer the phones, and it's just going to lie. You're going to phone up and go, like, my broadband's gone off, and they go, no, it hasn't. No, it really has. We fixed it. The problem's been solved. We've fixed everything. We've sent someone round. It's working. Try it now. Yeah, it's not working. Nope, it is. Goodbye. It's just gonna lie. You're not one of our customers. No, I am.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the these questions here will show us whether we can expect AI to take over our podcasting duties very soon. Let's see. So the next question was quite simple. How long has the show been going?
Go on. Sorry.
Yeah, what do you think it says to this?
So we've actually been going
20 years.
You know, well, we've been going for 11, is it now?
Nearly?
We had our 10-year.
We started in 2011, so.
So 12. 12 years. Yeah. So I'm going to say the ChatGPT thinks either 2 years or 25 years.
It actually was pretty close here. It just said over a decade, and then we started in 2010, I think. So it was close, close enough.
Lies. Yeah. It's just lies. No facts.
But here's the good one. I had the short and sweet question. Is the Xbox retro?
No.
No.
Dean?
It's going to say yeah, isn't it?
Yeah, I imagine it's going to say yes.
Well, no. In fact, it's going to lie. So it's going to go, the Xbox, released by Sony in 1976, is one of the most retro gaming consoles ever made.
It just said no. While the Xbox brand has been around since the early 2000s, it's not typically considered retro. So there you go, Chris. It's not retro. ChatGPT says so.
That's official.
Yep. Okay, so I went on and asked it, could you give me some examples of retro computers? And it gave me six different computers that it considered retro. And let's see how many of them you can guess.
Say Commodore 64.
Yeah, that's one.
VIC-20?
ZX Spectrum, surely.
We got the ZX Spectrum there. No VIC-20, no. No.
We got the ZX Spectrum. Okay, so it's including English as well.
C64 and ZX Spectrum, yeah.
The Commodore PET.
Commodore PET, yeah.
Nope.
The Apple.
The Apple II.
Yeah, the Apple II.
Apple II.
What about the color computer like Tandy?
No, no Cocos. No.
Timex. Mm.
No. It went into 16-bit as well. So
Amiga?
Yes, the Amiga. And
Atari ST?
The Atari ST. And then the IBM PC 5150. That's the six most important retro computers, if you ask it. That was an okay answer, I guess.
That's not bad.
But
I don't trust it anymore.
But you're going to trust it now, because now I asked it, is Action Biker a masterpiece?
Well, obviously.
It's got a short and sweet answer to that question, Chris. Steve, can you guess it?
It's going to say that it's up there with Fallout 4 and Red Dead Redemption and The Last of Us.
It says no. While Action Biker holds nostalgic value for some retro gaming enthusiasts, it's not generally regarded as a masterpiece or a groundbreaking title in the gaming industry. Sorry, Steve.
I'm actually quite impressed, though. Like, you knew what you were on about.
Yeah, it did. It actually wrote a bit more than these short answers I give you here. So it actually knew who published it and lots of stuff. So yeah,
That's mad. Because people don't know who made that either. Like, no one knows who made the game.
Yeah.
No one. I listened to a different podcast.
No one admits to making it. More like,
oh no. yeah, maybe so. Actually, it wasn't a podcast. It was, what's his name's little fanzine, C64, what's his name?
Freeze.
Freeze.
It's Vinny.
Monopoly. I won't start doing that again.
Don't upset him.
I do like him. He's awesome, man. His mag's awesome. And I got the Action Biker one, and I'm pretty sure in the story of it, they were like, they couldn't actually track down who'd made the game originally. Which is interesting.
I was right.
Yeah. That's GTP who wrote it.
Yeah, it actually knows quite a lot about Action Biker, but of course not who wrote it then. Oh, well. So the next is one for Dean, I guess. What is the most popular game on the ZX Spectrum, according to ChatGPT?
Manic Miner. Well, that's
true. Manic Miner. And actually, normally, when you ask ChatGPT for what is the most popular something, it'll give you like five or six to choose between, because it can't just choose one. But with the setting spectrum, it just said Manic Miner and gave me a whole like screen full of text about Manic Miner and who made it and so on and so forth. So yeah, definitely Manic Miner. Well done.
Nice.
So here comes another one then. What's the most popular game on the Commodore 64 then, Steve?
I mean, the best rated game on the Commodore 64 is Whizball. That's the top rated all-time game. I'm going to go Whizball.
Nope, not even mentioned. It was, of course, Super Mario Bros.
Of course it was.
And then it went on to tell me a lot about Super Mario Bros. And how that was a seminal 8-bit title for the Commodore 64.
It really was. Not Guiana Sisters. That was a classic on the NES.
Yeah. It also mentions The Last Ninja, Impossible Mission, and Ghostbusters, but the Super Mario Bros. Was most definitely the best. It does actually mention that it was just a port of the NES classic, but it was the best C64 game.
I mean, it's my favorite Commodore mascot.
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it was ported to the C64 in what, 2019, 2020? 2019, I guess? Somebody made a version. Was it just of the first couple of levels, or
the game actually? It was like perfect, wasn't it?
Yeah,
was it
pretty much? Yeah, it was really good.
Okay, I wonder if that's still available somewhere, or if Nintendo has written a cease and desist for
I've
that.
I've got it as well somewhere, I think.
Yeah, okay.
I wasn't going to admit it, Steve. Not publicly.
To be fair, like Mads is our like local pirate. He's normally got he normally supplies us with anything we need.
Of course. Okay, so after Super Mario Bros. Being the most popular C64 game, I asked it to list the best 8-bit titles ever. So if you ask ChatGPT just to list the best games released on 8-bit consoles or computers, which platform dominates completely?
NES.
Well, it should be the NES.
Yes. Yes, four out of six titles were NES titles, and the last two were Pac-Man and Tetris, I think. Mm. So, yeah.
So what were the other ones? Super Mario 3?
Let me just find it. It was Zelda. Metroid, and it was...
Zelda,
yes. And a Mario game, probably Super Mario Land again. Super Mario Bros. Again, I'm not sure. Super Mario Bros., The Legend of Zelda, Metroid, and Castlevania.
Oh, Castlevania. Hmm.
Yeah. And then it has Tetris and Pac-Man as well, which is, of course, for multiple platforms. So, yeah. I guess they have a tendency to index the US sites the most, because there's no like European stuff here at all. It's more of the...
We don't even know you guys exist. Let's be real.
Exactly. So here comes the very last and the most important question of all. Which version of Nebulous is best? The C64 or the Amstrad CPC?
Oh, man. I mean, it's obviously...
It's the Pico 8 version.
Go on.
So it doesn't actually dare give an answer. It's got no real answer. It says that some players may prefer the authenticity and nostalgia of the C64 original, while others may appreciate the Amstrad CPC version for its specific quirks and characteristics, whatever that means.
Wow.
So we didn't. We can't yet put that in the ground, Steve. It's still out there. We don't know what the answer to that question is.
We really can't trust ChatGTP anyway, because it's just a big bad liar about everything. Yes. It's just talking bollocks about everything.
Yeah, so. I was trying. At some point, I asked it directly if Steve Erickson was part of Retro Asylum, and he wasn't. And then later on in the conversation, when I asked something else about the Retro Asylum, it says something. Well, when Dean Swain and Steve Erickson did that and that. But you just said Steve wasn't a part. No, he's not a part of the Retro Asylum. Okay.
It's just kind of mental, isn't it? It's absolutely kind of terrifying.
I think you have to actually teach it. You have to tell it. Steve Erickson is a host of the Retro Asylum.
I think you can tell it within that same chat, because for obvious reasons, they've made it so that you can't teach ChatGPT globally anything, because then trolls on the internet would teach it all kinds of weird stuff. But you can, in that single conversation you have with it, actually teach it to correct itself. Yeah. I didn't want to do that, though. So funny ChatGPT story. When it just got released to the public, my old PhD advisor, he tried to do what you always do with a new search engine. He searched for himself. And so what can you tell me about my name? And it told him that he died in the 9/11 attacks.
What?
And then again, he asked, well, what can you tell me about in his own name again? This time he died in a ferry accident. That's very, very, it's a very known ferry accident in the late 80s here in Denmark, close to Denmark. And then he asked again, of course, another day. And there he died in an earthquake in Greece. So whenever he asks ChatGPT anything, he dies in a spectacular way.
It's like Final Destination. You're going to die somehow, yes. No matter what. I mean, yes, that's true to life.
But it would be terrifying to think that the supercomputer behind ChatGPT is like a quantum computer. And like it's just triggering different multiverses.
It's a messed up ZX81, Steve. No, there's nothing to worry about.
It's mental. Absolutely mental.
Now, whenever he asks anything about himself, he's dead and in spectacular ways. So
that's
in that
terrifying.
Neural network somewhere, his name is floating somewhere along close to disasters. So that's why it picks those
puns. The digital Grim Reaper is after him.
It's most definitely.
It's terrifying, you know. How did I die today? You know, every time
and
you look yourself
up. And the
fun
thing is that it would have his death, which would, of course, would be wrong, and then lots and lots of correct things about him, because he's a researcher, he's got lots of stuff published, so he's known on the internet as such. So it could tell what his field of research, what he's published, everything, but apart from the fact that he died, and often because it's not that bright with years and the order in which stuff happens. So often he'd die and then 5 years later, he'd get a award for something, and then so, yeah. Oh well,
posthumously.
yeah, it must have been.
That's insane. Have you listened to any of the AI music, like with the singers?
No.
Oh man, that's scary.
That
now.
Is spooky, so, isn't it? Yeah.
It's horrible. Like so, like there's a version of Freddie Mercury singing Thriller.
Okay.
There's some Oasis song. It's called OAISIS. OAISIS. And it's some random demo they did, but it's got Liam Gallagher singing it, just sounding like Liam Gallagher. It's crazy. Like Paul McCartney and the Beatles singing some demos that they never, ever sang on. And it's just bonkers because it just sounds like them. And it's kind of terrifying.
Did you guys hear the relatively recent episode of the Retro Hour where they had the AI speak? It was like using their voices, but it was just that you could tell it wasn't them, but it was so close. Except Joe ended up becoming like an American. He had an American accent, which is really funny, but that was scary.
Dan sounded like Dan. He just sounded like
did.
Himself.
It totally did.
I didn't hear the episode. I saw a clip they put on their Facebook and it just come up and it was just them chatting as AI. And I was like, that is bizarre.
Yeah.
Absolutely mental. Scary times, man, because like people are losing jobs and stuff, you know, and it's like, and companies are going to use this, you know, it's like they're going to use it. Why bother like getting an artist in or a graphic designer to do graphics or anything when I can just type, draw me this, you know, and except for
have
the point
tried
is
any
like,
of those AI drawing or painting programs though.
Yes. And the thing is, so I've got DALL-E 2, whatever it's called.
Yeah.
Access to that. And I've got access to Firefly, which is Adobe's one.
Okay.
But I did the Last Arcade's album cover with one of them.
Okay.
But it was basically by refining what I did. So initially it drew some crap of like, I think I said like three guys on a barren landscape staring out into space. And like one of us had one eye, some of us had three ears. It was just like terrifying. But by basically like refining it and going like, okay, change this to this. We eventually ended up with a really good album cover. So, you know,
weird.
There's me practicing what I preach, isn't it? Because it was free instead of having someone to do it. But just kind of just terrifying. And now you can make music with it. Just tell it, write me this type of track, and it'll just do it.
Yeah.
No soul, though. This is the problem. It's got no heart and soul. So, you know, it can write songs, but they're rubbish. It's got no experiences. It just talks rubbish. It just grabs lines from, like, other people's songs that rhyme and sticks them together, but it's not really telling you a story, you know. It's bonkers.
Yeah, and it's only going to refine and get better and better and better over the years, you know, as things always do. So it's definitely going to be a scary time in the next 5 years. It's going to be interesting to see where we get.
Who would have thought that Terminator 2 was actually a documentary?
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's a happy thought.
Always look on the bright side.
Well, we'll be sat in a bunker playing 8-bit games, so who cares?
Yeah.
We'll just let it happen.
No,
what did you think of Tetris, Mark? You watched the film.
Yeah, so yeah, that's right. We watched, or I watched it. You let me watch that movie. I liked it, but it also was super cheesy. And I mean, you know, in our chat, we were chatting about it. We were, you know, me and Matt were, I think I'd like it more as a documentary opposed to a Hollywood type film, because there's so many things like, you know, they're sitting there in Moscow and he's basically pitting everybody against themselves to get the right deal. You know, the guy from Russia is going back and forth. And I'm like, there's no way this really happened. Right. I can't. Couldn't be this tight, but it is a film itself. I thought it was pretty fun. You know, definitely worth a watch. Definitely worth a watch.
I really enjoyed it, but I like the guy. Can't remember his name now. The main guy out of it's been in quite a few films recently, and he's really good. He lives not far from here, or he's from.
Okay,
about 10 miles away from here. Taron Egerton, his name is, and he's great. And it was really Hollywoodized. I actually get that. But I'm not taking it off Matt, who says he doesn't like it but hasn't watched it.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm not, you're not getting away with that, mate. I'm sorry. Watch it and tell me you don't like it. And I'll just go, that's fine. Absolutely fine. But he's like, no, I don't like it. I was like, but have you watched it? No. You sound like ChatGTP. you're just making stuff up. Watch it. Watch the trailer and then tell me, I didn't like it. Fair enough.
Maybe he is in the Telegram chat. Maybe it is ChatGPT, Matt. Maybe we need to check on him.
Maybe it's Matt GTP.
Maybe he's stuck in Dean's shed there knocking.
Yeah, he's knocking to get out.
Trying to get out, yeah.
I mean, look at the size of that arcade cap behind Dean there. There could be somebody captured
stuck
in there.
Stuck hiding inside there, yeah.
That's it.
Well, I've been talking with the wife, and it seems like the other arcade machine is coming down here, so... All my Mr. stuff used to be this side, but now it's actually to the left of me.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, main Mr. screen, your two vertical monitors. You have to have two because of flipping images upside down. Yeah. And the PC monitor's there. That's for playing point-and-click games that I don't like.
Point-and-click games.
Yeah, so... it's going to be another arcade cab here, which is the one that is in the kitchen, and the Vectrex will be slid along. So that used to be over here, and it's going over to my right. So, yeah, it's all changing, but I've got no space in here.
Why is it getting booted out the kitchen, Dean? Why is it getting booted out the kitchen? What have you done?
I'm redecorating the kitchen later in the year, and one, I don't want to get paint over it. Because I'm such a messy decorator, and she's got plans for the little corner that it sits in at the moment.
And so, the arcade machine is not part of the plans.
Yeah, I'm probably not part of the plans. I'll be living down here. so, yeah, I just want both machines together anyway, and I want to tidy it up down here. So I've actually started boxing up a lot of the consoles that I'm not using. So it's... I did contact Ali, the retro hunter, about selling them, but he said he's got too many consoles at the moment to take them on. And yeah, I'm in two minds whether to get rid of them or not. So I don't know.
I mean, I think you were talking to me about this the other day. And the problem is that the Mister's that good.
It is that good that I've not really used, you know, my Atari 2600, the 7800, the NES, the Master System.
Because it just does them all. It just does them all so well.
Television, my ColecoVision. Well, I might keep the ColecoVision because I like playing Turbo on it. And there is a snack adapter for the ColecoVision cord.
I think like I said the other day, if it was me, if it was me, I'd just sell everything so I don't go off me. But if it was me as you, I would say... Keep the things that you've got a real nostalgic connection to. Keep the Spectrum.
Well, this is it. You know, my Spectrum Plus 2, my mum and dad bought me that.
Yeah, exactly.
Years ago. That was my Christmas present, and that will never go. I've already sold my original 2600 ages ago. You know, that was probably early 90s. So, yeah, consoles that the Mister does and does well, I'll keep. The Vectrex obviously stays. That does not go anywhere.
Yeah.
I'll fight anyone to the death who tries to
come. Well, that can't be replaced, and it can't be emulated either.
You can't emulate it properly. So, but, yeah, I want it. It got to the point I had so much hardware in here, using it was a problem because of, you know, even though I've got multiple CRTs, you still got to use SCART selectors and plugging stuff in. It was a mess and probably a big fire risk. So, I just want to scale it down a bit. You know, I've not used my computers. I've put them away. They've been put away now since I bought the Mister, really, probably a fortnight after I got it. I thought, I'm going to put them away. I won't sell them. And they've sat in tubs underneath the desks ever since, you know, just not getting used. So
it's a tough one, isn't it?
This is why I haven't set up my arcade core, or not the arcade core, all the computer cores and stuff, because it's going to terrify me that I'm going to want to get rid of everything too.
You look like you've got plenty of space there, Mark.
Yeah, it looks like that. It's not. It's all crammed in here.
It's a mess, is it?
It's a mess. Yeah, I'm hiding all the mess, but yeah. Yeah, these shelves used to go right to the floor, all four of them.
Really?
Full of games. Yeah, and I've gotten rid of all those games, but I've replaced them with hardware. That's the problem. I got rid of software.
A lot of people are probably thinking, oh, Dean, don't get rid of them, you'll regret it. But the Mister does it so well, and because you can use CRTs on a Mister, that makes it feel a lot more authentic. You know, it's just, okay, you've not got the physical system in front of you. It's like when I'm playing on a Commodore 64, because I'm a Spectrum guy, I think, oh, where's that key? And I do sometimes just get the real computer out and have a look. Or I can just bring up an image on my phone or something, if I'm that desperate. But yeah.
The Mister, in some circumstances, does it better. Yeah.
The RGB thing, you know.
Well, that's the point. The outputs, the video output on it,
is
tremendous to a CRT. And it's better than a NES or a Master System or a Commodore 64 or Spectrum. I had both. I had on two SCART channels, I had the Commodore 64 set up on one SCART channel and the Mister running as a Commodore 64 on the other SCART channel. And if I flip between the two, I just got a more blurry, washed out, fuzzy picture off the Commodore 64. And
yes, of course, it's composite.
Composite, pristine. But exactly the same. Exactly the same size, exactly the same refresh. It looked exactly the same, except one looked amazing. Just the colours were vibrant. No flicker, no nothing. Boom. And the other one was just a bit like... It's just like, man, it's doing it better. It's actually doing it better.
And what our listeners can't see is that behind Dean, we see the Mister setup of all Mister setups. As he said, he's got four CRTs connected to it on a SCART switch, I guess.
yeah, it's just a simple SCART switch. And they're all using a special RGB. It's actually a Spectrum Next RGB cable on each of them. Yeah, it works. So. I really like to get my hands on
some RGB capable 14 or 15 inch CRTs as well. I only have a one, and then I have those 21 inch.
Move out the way. I've got bigger CRTs. There's two. I've got a Panasonic. I can't remember the model number. And what's this?
Dean has disappeared.
I'm back. I'm back, everyone. Yeah, Bang & Olufsen, which.
Oh yeah.
I've got the N64 hooked up to that because it's S video.
It's the best. MX4200 or I've got two of those. Great.
It's the last model they've done, so it's, I don't know, there's something a little bit different about it, I think.
Those are some classy looking components that they make at Bang & Olufsen.
Oh yeah.
Are they like rollers and TVs? They're
quite easy to get a hold of here because it's a Danish brand. So I think one of mine I probably gave 6-7 quid for.
Have you ever tried using a light gun on it though?
No, I haven't actually. It's
got the double glass, isn't it?
Yeah, it does.
I don't know if it'll work.
No, I mean,
because that was the thing with the Sony Trinitrons. The model I've got here, I had to swap it over. I used to have my main display on MAME as a Sony Trinitron.
Yeah.
And the bottom quarter of the screen doesn't register with light gun.
Hmm.
And of course, you play an Operation Wolf or something, all the enemies are at the bottom of the screen.
Yeah, that's no good.
So, yeah, I had to swap it over with a Philips TV.
Mm. So I've actually really never even tried it. I need to do that because I love light gun games. And I even got that adapter for the Mist. I just haven't had time to use it yet.
Yeah, it's a strange one.
I've got the NES Zapper and I've got the G-Con.
Oh, yeah.
For the PlayStation, or both on the Mist. It's just awesome. That's the other thing that it does, isn't it? I mean, the snack adapter.
Yeah, this is the thing, you know.
Plug the real controllers in.
Yeah, with the CRT, you know. The light gun games, I love them. They're just something a bit different once in a while.
Mm.
So, yeah.
So, like Steve, the Miu Mini Plus, did you play any, like, Commodore 64 games on it as well?
Action Biker.
Of course. So how does that work? Is the core for C64 good?
Yeah, I mean, it's good. I mean, it's got, you press the select button and it just comes up with the keyboard. So anything that you need, the keyboard, you just don't really, because it'll boot to usually to a crack screen, which you need the space bar for.
Yeah.
And then once you get to there, it's normally the fire button's mapped. So it's just start. Yeah. And then I'll just do a quick
save. But you can call up the keyboard if it is like the F1 function one to start the game.
Yeah, it just pulls up the keyboard. So that's nice and easy. Nice. What I normally do is I'll get it all the way up to the title screen and hit a save state permanently. Mm. So that next time I don't have to wait for it, because it'll take a while to load because it's emulating the tape. Okay. Even if you speed it up, it'll take a minute or so to load.
Mm, wow.
But then once it's done, I'll just, like I say, save state, and the next time I boot it up, I'm just on the start screen or where I was up to. So I'm replaying through Action Biker. Just usually when I go to the loo, I'll just collect one or two bags of skips. And then I'll switch back to whatever I'm playing.
Mm.
But, yeah, I'm loving it. Hmm? I'm loving just going through these old games that I used to love anyway and actually completing them.
Yeah, yeah. That's what save states are good for. Lovely. If you want to do it right, you just do a save state at the beginning of each level and try not to use them in the level, because then that's kind of like just cheesing it. But at least if I complete a game like that, it feels as if I've completed it myself afterwards, even though I know I cheated. It feels right.
No, I don't think you did cheat, mate. I think you've, you know, we're using kind of modern gameplay sensibilities, aren't you? Mm. So for me, I do the same thing. Start of the level, save point, and that is it. And sometimes it infuriates me. Like when I played RoboCop on the Game Boy, like the level when I was going through the junkyards thing, I just kept getting killed.
Yeah,
and I get sometimes like 80% of the way through the level, 90% near the end, and get killed. And I was like, oh, no, I just want to save it here. But I won't let myself. I was like, no, because you'll ruin it, because you'll just start doing that on everything. And then you just, it might as well have like cheats, lives, you know, infinite lives switched on and, you know, invincibility. No, you've got to do the level. Got to do it start to end. Sometimes on certain games, I've let myself save as I've hit the end of level boss.
Okay.
Because I've got myself the end of level boss and I'm going into the fight, because some of them, like Cloud Master, if you die beating the end of level boss, it sends you back to the start of the level, which is probably 5 minutes long.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm not having that, because that'll just drive me mad. So I've clocked the whole level. I've beat everything to get to the boss. And I'm doing it there, so I'll come back and fight the boss. Sometimes I'll let myself do that. But
sounds sensible.
That's about as much as I
know. Do you use save states?
I only when I feel like I have to. Yeah.
Obviously you've got a lot of real hardware there, so it's not really an option, is it?
No. Well, a lot of the Everdrives will let you. Yeah, a lot of the Everdrives you can save state on. But I've always tried to avoid save states.
Mm.
You know?
Because Matt's been talking about getting rid of his Mister because it doesn't really do save states well. It does on the NES.
It does.
It's a few of them, isn't it? I think
on the consoles, I'm sure it does.
Is that built into the cores that allows that? Is that what that is?
Yeah, I think it depends on whoever's programmed the core. If they've got room to fit that feature in, they will. So, yeah, it's
that'd be hard to sell off the Mister. I mean, I've heard people have sold their entire collections off because the Mister is that good.
Yeah, well, you get a fortune for it. I'll give him that much. I'll give him.
Save states to me, that because I used real hardware for so long, I've never really got into using save states. I just play short games.
Yeah.
Well, you might find this with the Miu, Dean.
Yeah.
Like, because one of the nice things on that is no matter what you're playing, if you press that middle button to
quit. I know,
quit,
but it's annoying me. There's sometimes I'll go back to a game and it's obviously where I just died or something. I just want to get back to the beginning.
If you do that button and L2 or the raised back, that's save one of your slots. And if you do the right one, that's load. So at the start of levels, you can just go in and go bink, and it'll say at the bottom it's made a save, and it doesn't matter then where you've quit out or not.
Gotcha.
As soon as you quit back in, you can just load it. Yeah.
To be honest, this only turned up yesterday because, as you guys know, but our listeners won't, I actually ordered one of these a few weeks ago, and the guy who I got it off of eBay, the guy sent it out, all the tracking was fine, and that lovely company, Every, they managed to lose it, and they've only just replied to my email today saying, yes, we have lost it. And that's it. That's all they said.
That's because they lost your email?
Well, they lose everything. I mean, how do you lose a package? It entered their warehouse, it's on their tracking system, and they've managed to lose it.
They probably have chat GPT as their customer service. Yes, we have lost it.
It is. It's an automatic bot you deal with.
They've got ChatGPT in charge of the directions of where to send it to.
Yeah, I reckon they have.
I'm hoping it's on its way to Utah.
Yeah. Luckily, the guy who sold it to me gave me a refund, and he had sold out by that point. So he only had about 6 in stock anyway. So I managed to get one with a next day delivery, which is actually a fiver cheaper. And then I was driving when it arrived. The wife was out. She was at work, sat at a desk, and she doesn't like answering the doorbell because we've got a Ring doorbell, and our postwoman is a bit strange. I've shown the videos of her this week.
She seems very lovely.
Oh, yeah, she's
great.
Where
do you want it, Dean? Where do you want it?
So it went back to the depot. And I got it the next day. And that is it. And for some reason, my voice is now bouncing back. That is doing my head in.
Is that better?
Yeah, is that your phone?
It was my fault. I was just trying to do something. Let me see if I can do it. Hang on.
Oh, you're playing, huh?
Where do you want it?
Yeah, can you just leave it on the...
Where do you want it?
Just in front of the door, please.
Yeah, so as you can hear, she doesn't actually let you finish saying what you're saying. Can you leave it? But when you actually open the door to her in person, she won't talk to you. And I took the package off of her Saturday morning and went, thank you. She wears sunglasses and a face mask. You can't see. It's like a stormtrooper coming to the door. All the little kids run inside when she pulls up. Scary. Terrified of her, yeah. But, yeah, I've got it. And yesterday I was busy. So I eventually I wanted to change the operating software on it because it comes with different firmware, doesn't it?
Yeah, the stock firmware on it's not very good. It's okay.
Yeah. So you put this Onion operating system on it, which I've done, and I put some Pico 8 games on it, and one of them was Mission Impossible. Or was it Impossible Mission? I always get the two mixed up. The C64 game, there's a remake of it, a Pico 8 version of that. And I loaded it, and the screen went blank. It obviously crashed. But it totally... The screen was working because when I switched it off, you got the logo. And when you switch it back on, I got the logo. But nothing else. So I had to delete a save file on there earlier on. So I've not really had a good play of it yet.
So you guys are really getting into your Pico 8 games. So can the listeners expect an upcoming episode or...?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah, we were going to record one a bit, sooner than I'd hoped to, but because of the delays on this, because I've been playing a lot of these games, but I was playing them on my phone, and I can't, just seeing what they look like and sound like. Obviously, touchscreen controls on a phone, I can't stand it.
That's no need,
something physical. So, I want to try a few of the games. The only trouble is, obviously, this is using an emulator, and I can't get my head around it because Pico 8 is actually, it's a fantasy console. It's all software. So I don't.
There is only emulation because there is no hardware.
Exactly. So why can't they use the same software on these? The emulator isn't official. I think that's something to do with it. So it's a bit behind what the official emulator does.
Okay. Okay.
Why is it it doesn't do? Because it just works for me.
That game for starters crashed my system. I couldn't use this screen.
Well,
but didn't you say R-Type didn't work?
Occasionally, I think some of them just don't. I went through about.
But that works in my browser on my phone.
They all work on the browser, do. I don't know what it is, but there's different type of. Like some of them are P8 dot pings, and some of them are just dot pings. So they do different formats.
So is it supposed to just be played on the on your computer then? Is that typically or is it just
you can play it on the computer or any of these because there's loads of these sort of handheld devices out there, isn't there?
I'm just wondering, is there one on the Mister? Because that would be a nice way to play
it. No, there isn't. And I have asked developers, would you do it? But with the Mister, it's all about being authentic, and because there isn't no official hardware, no one's up for doing it.
Oh, it would be kind of weird to do this on a Mister because that would mean that you
have an official
or simulate hardware that doesn't actually exist.
Yeah,
I mean, Pico 8 is just a virtual machine and a game engine that's created by somebody called Lexa Awful Games.
Yeah,
so it's a fantasy video game console. It's it looks and tries to be like an 8-bit system, but it's coded in Lua, which is much more modern than what you'd be coding in back
it's
in the day.
It's just a very restricted version of it, though, from what I can gather.
Yeah,
well, I think so, they deliberately constricted.
Yeah, they do feel like
the screen, the pixel size.
Yeah, they feel a bit like 8-bit. They look like 8-bit, but they do and they don't. They feel like modern 8-bit games.
They're really cool. It looks completely 8-bit, but the power behind it is like modern. So it's like you can throw the pixels around as fast as it wants to. No 8-bit could have done it. It's super fast.
Some impressive stuff. I mean, obviously, these are all unofficial versions, but you've got Doom, you've got Virtua Racing, and they do look really nice.
Yeah, it sounds funny. It baffles me, this project. I need to look at it at some point, see what it is.
Yeah.
But I want to get an actual 8-bit game done first.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I understand that. I mean, it wouldn't be for everyone anyway, because it's not the real. It's not a real thing. It is fantasy.
Nah, but modern retro games, modern pixel games, and that's there's a huge resurgence in that the last 5, 6, 7 years. They can be good fun as well. So this is just yet another venue for that. And I guess what attracts people, developers, is that it is this limited 8-bit mindset that you go into it with. So it's so much easier. I mean, making games on the 8-bits just was a lot easier because the fidelity that people would expect was a lot lower, and the size of the games were smaller. And there's a reason that you could be a bedroom coder and didn't need an entire team back then. So if that is brought back by these Pico 8 projects, then that's great because you get some really fun games for that as well.
There's some great arcade conversions on there as well. And they're really quite playable.
Really good.
And lots of creative people work really, really well with the fun restrictions. So,
definitely worth a play. Definitely,
yep.
Yeah.
Okay. I would say it'd make for a good fun episode because the couple that I tried on my phone, I didn't even realize it would play through the phone until I finally clicked on a link and I was like, oh my gosh, it works. But like you said, Dean, those non-tactile buttons is the worst. That's the worst way to play games.
I dug out years ago, I had a little Bluetooth controller. When iPhones first, it probably wasn't the first iPhone, so I didn't get was mine, iPhone 6, I think, was the first one I had. But you had a lot of emulation on the App Store, and there was arcade games and stuff. So I had a little Bluetooth controller. And it doesn't seem to work with the Pico 8 stuff. The control system for their games is different to stuff that comes out via the App Store.
Okay.
So, you know, it's like you'd press right and that would be shoot or something. You know, the controls were messed up.
Okay.
Which was a shame because I could have just played those games with a Bluetooth controller had that worked. But
yeah,
so I can play them on a computer. But
is Pico 8 limited to with the controls as well to just one or two buttons like the old 8-bits or
two buttons and a directional pad?
Yeah, I think. But there's some games. There's like a version of the Star Wars, the Atari Star Wars, and that you need a mouse to control it.
Okay.
I've been playing that. Just on the...
No, there's a different one. There's two versions, yeah.
Okay. But you say, Steve, normally it's directional pad and two buttons.
That's every game I played just had the two buttons and a directional pad.
Yeah, I need to have a look at that. Maybe I should fire some of those games up on the Steam Deck then.
Really cool.
Is there a RetroArch core or emulator for it?
You need some file.
Okay.
You're meant to buy it. It's like £14, unless you develop for it as well. Once the file's on your system, you can just play them all.
Okay.
I don't know how it works on a Steam Deck, but I do know that the Miu Mini comes with the file, which you were supposed to have paid for.
Okay.
Well, I think the one with the Miu Mini is an unofficial emulator. That's why not every game is fully compatible with it.
Maybe that's what it is. But
with Steam Deck, you'll have the proper thing if you pay the $15 or whatever it is.
So reading about it, that it's actually not an emulator. It's just a virtual machine. So the games are distributed in Ping VM files. Code so that this virtual machine
PNG
can...
PNG files, usually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that you told me. It's actually somewhere hidden in the metadata of PNG files. That's
really cool. So it looks like an image as well. So it's got its own little cartridge.
Yeah, like a little cartridge.
Yeah, nice.
It's a cool concept.
Yeah, it is.
Like I say, when you get them working on the Miu, they're great because you've got the proper controls. It's a lovely little screen because of the constriction of the screen anyway. It's like a Game Boy game. It's with loads of colors.
Yeah.
So where do you buy a Miu? Where do you buy a Miu? You say that they're always sold out, but if they weren't, where?
Amazon, eBay, you can get them on there. But I think what it is, the official price for AliExpress, there is a... The company that makes them goes through AliExpress.
Okay.
And they're about £60.
Okay.
But if you're buying them on eBay, you're looking at £80 upwards. People are putting quite a bit extra on.
Yeah, I was looking at Amazon. It was like €100.
Yeah.
eBay,
I paid £80 dead on for this, and that was with postage. So.
Okay.
It's not too... To me, you know, for a handheld that... It does loads. I've got all the real hardware, so I'm not too interested in the Game Boy stuff. I'll try it. But for me, I just wanted something to play these Pico 8 games on.
Yeah.
So cheap and cheerful. And it is a lovely screen. And the games, the ones that work well. Mm. Just don't try Mission Impossible. Impossible Mission, even. See, I told you I keep getting mixed up.
Yeah, it looks like
stay forever.
Looks like I'm looking at $80-$85. I could get one here in the morning, tomorrow morning.
Do it,
Amazon. Some people say they're hard to get hold of at the proper price, but if you're willing to pay $20 more or whatever,
a bit more,
pick one up, Mark. Then you can play along on the episode.
Yeah, maybe so. Yeah, because playing it on the phone was terrible. It was neat to see, but I would like to see.
This is the thing, you know, any of these. How people play games on mobile phones without a decent controller is boring me.
Yeah.
Touchscreen controls. Ugh, horrible.
Is it the Miu Mini Plus? Is that what you guys
have? That's it.
That's the one. You want the Plus, the bigger one.
Interesting.
Because there's just a Miu Mini as well, which is tiny.
It's not that big.
Yeah. So there is a smaller version of that that's not
the Plus. Yeah, that's the one that's hard to get hold of.
I see.
There's the... Super Mario Brothers
Game and Watch Game there. Watch. Okay. Mm. Yeah, it's pretty small. So, but the screen's nice and big.
Yeah.
It's 3.5 inch screen. It's nice little screen on it.
Hmm.
Cool.
Right.
So, Mark, how are you finding it now being a host on the show? We haven't really
spoken
too much about
it. I got fans coming all over the place. No.
I mean, literally? I mean, that sounds really rude, mate. It must be the accent.
That's right. Yeah, that's right. No, it's a lot of fun. It's really cool. I've always loved this podcast. So, when I found it, you know, I found it back in 2018, when my daughter was born. She had lots of medical complications. So we were in and out of hospital for about 3 months with her. And so that's when I found this podcast, and just, it was perfect. It was just something I'd never learned about was European gaming. So, the very first episode I listened to, I'm almost certain. Good grief, Dino. I'll stop. I'm just kidding.
No, sorry.
Tell you what, Dino, he's bearing his soul here.
I know.
I'll just turn the sand down on this thing.
Dean's bored. Sure, he's like, I'm playing working. A game. I'm
yeah, whatever.
I'm out.
Keep talking, Mark. It's entertaining.
No, it's good. Sorry. It's good. No, you're good. So the first episode I listened to was the Commodore 16 episode, which I think was you and Steve, right? Right, Matt?
Yes, it was.
Yeah. Because I've never even heard of that system before.
Playing Big Mac, the Mad Maintenance Man. Remember that one, Steve?
Oh, yeah. Man,
I love that game.
Yeah.
There's
something cool games on that.
Yeah, you guys hooked me instantly. So I'm like, man, that is something weird that I'd never heard of. So that was cool. But yeah, now being a part of the episodes and just hanging out with you guys has been a lot of fun. You know, gives you purpose in life. Something to do.
Purpose in life. Who recruited you? Was it Chris?
What's that?
Who recruited you into the fold? Was it Chris?
Mads and Chris. Yeah, yeah.
Mm.
Yeah,
once you're in, man, you can't get out.
Yeah, no. I
join us.
Clearly, I think Dean's got like six people hidden in the shed, all the past hosts.
Yeah, old hosts, man. Old hosts stuck in the cupboard.
They stop knocking.
No one leaves Retro Asylum, really.
Stay a while.
When Andy Godley talks about his favorite arcade game, it's from inside Dean's cabinet.
Is that where you got the inspiration for your music video there, Steve? Getting
That's
sucked
it,
into the arcade machine?
Yeah. I've been down to Dean's. I've just escaped with my life. It's not a music video, it's a documentary. Cool, guys. So should we start to wrap up?
Yeah, I guess Please so. Because I am listening, guys. Sorry, I've just started playing this breakout game on the Pico 8, as you probably heard before I turned the sound down. I am terrible. Sorry.
That's all good.
Very rude of me.
It's all good.
But yes, this thing is rather... You can't really see
it. It looks great. Mm. Yeah.
Very nice. Very nice, yeah. Yes, so thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Sorry it's been a bit of a ramble episode, I guess, but... We hadn't spoke to Mads in ages, and we've not really spoken to Mark properly, so it's nice to record with you, mate.
Yeah, thanks. Yep, thanks for definitely. Letting me pop in and hang out with you guys.
Join the waffle. What time is it there, Mark?
Let's see. We're looking at 1:30 in the afternoon. So, yeah.
No, man. ChatGTP said it's 1 a.m., so I'm sorry, mate, but yeah.
So I'm
time
wrong.
For bed. It's time for bed. No, it's cool, man. It's been cool having you on. And, you know, obviously, welcome to the show and welcome to the podcast. But, yeah, about time we all jumped on together.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I appreciate it. Yeah, I did speak with Steve back when we were playing Supercars 2.
Supercars 2, man.
Yeah. Well,
we've got to have a Knight Rider episode, haven't we?
Oh, we
There's
do, yeah.
We've got to. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm in. Think... Count me in.
Yeah, good.
The terrible ocean... Knight Rider games.
All the games.
PC Engine one.
Matter of fact, right here, you probably can't see. These are all the Knight Rider games.
Yes.
Love it. If you bought the Commodore 64 version, though.
Yeah. Well, I've got the weird one. The weird, it's N-I-T-E Rider. So it's like a bootleg. I don't know what you'd call it.
So are there any good ones?
No.
Okay.
Don't ruin the episode.
That was the episode. Yeah, the game sucked. The show is great. There we go. Yeah.
I think we do both. I think if you're up for it and Dino's up for it, I'm up for it. Let's do the TV series, the spin-offs, and the games.
I'm totally down.
So, Steve, you just watched them like last year, didn't you?
I watch one every now and then as well. I'll just be like, okay. I've got like Plex set up with all like.
Actually,
stuff on it.
Mark, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
Did you like Street Hulk?
Street Hulk, I never actually watched.
You've never watched it?
No.
The man, the machine, Airwolf? Street Hulk.
Airwolf, I remember. I mean, I have a picture with the real Knight Rider car from 1997. I got to go to Universal Studios, and it was so sad. It's like tucked. It was just tucked away in the corner right there. You could, people were walking by it. I got a picture of me hugging the front of it. And I may or may not have scraped, and there was on the back bumper, there was a big paint chip. Like the paint was falling off the bumper. I may have stolen a piece of paint. So,
is it in a frame?
Yes, maybe.
I love it. I love it, man. I absolutely loved that show when I was a kid. It was like one of my absolute favorite TV shows.
It was
Thursday nights over here, wasn't it? Was it Thursday nights?
I felt like it was Tuesdays. I was so young. I mean, I was still born in the 70s, but I was just a little guy. I mean, I just remember playing with the toys as a kid, you know, little cars and oh man. And I of course built me a kit back in the year 2000. So that's when the night 2000 back in year 2000. So yeah.
Did you ever watch? I mean, we'll do this in the episode, but did you ever watch the spinoffs?
So which one? So are you talking about the one in like 2008, the one with the Mustang?
Well, there was two. So there was one when. Well,
no, it's more than that, isn't there? You got Knight Rider and Knight Rider 2000, and
the one with the car's red.
Yep, that's Knight Rider 2000. That was a TV movie. Yep, I did watch that.
Mads has fallen asleep, by the way.
Mads is now playing his peak Miu Mini or whatever. Yeah. But no, I never actually did watch Team Knight Rider, but I'd have to do some research.
I'll have to
rewatch.
I mean, if we're going to do it, we need to watch them all. Not all of them, but we need to watch, like, you know, the spin-off, the red, the one with the car's red. The one where it's a Mustang and it's Val Kilmer's voice, was it? I can't remember.
Yeah,
his voice it was.
That's it. Yeah. That's it. I was so excited about that. Oh my gosh. Yeah. No, I guess we'll get into it when we decide to do one. But yeah, it just passed its 40th anniversary last year. That's when I was talking to Dean about it. I was like, man, I'd be totally down to do a Knight Rider episode.
Yeah, something as soon as you mentioned about Knight Rider, I thought there's an episode that needs doing.
Yeah. That'll fit right in for me and Dino with the 80s TV stuff we've done in the past.
Yeah, nostalgic rubbish.
It's so terribly good.
Right. let's start planning that, boys, because I'm well up for that.
Sure. Yeah,
I want to thank all our Patreons. Not going to list yours because I forgot to print a list out. And I always butcher your names anyway. But thank you guys for supporting the show. And you're going to pay for a new roof on my shed. No, I'm joking. You know.
Exterminator, yeah, for the woodpecker, yeah.
Guys, cool. Any shout-outs before we go?
Yeah, shout-out to the rest of the team. Shout-out to Chris and Matt. Shout-out to Mark. Welcome to joining the team, mate. Glad to have you on board. Shout-out to Mads, who's here. And you, Dean. I'm just shouting out people who are actually right in front of me. I'm tired, man.
Hi,
all the best. And all the patrons and everyone who's listening to the show, thanks for the patrons keeping us going. Thanks for everyone for carrying on listening to us. Mads?
Yeah, just shout out to all of the guys on Discord. It's always a pleasure to be there. So they keep this podcast alive and over there, and that's great fun.
Cool.
Yeah, likewise with me. The Discord stuff is the best. It's how we all keep in touch. And I like how Roushey's actually taken over the Finish 'Em, where you guys did the Finish 'Em. He's taken over that chat channel and just listing all the games he's finished this year. He's already at like number 30 something.
He's on a mission to finish a game every week. So 52 games this year.
He's already at 30. Yeah. So he's on his way.
Good. He's doing good.
Is there an official list, though? Can you just stick anything in there that you finished?
You can stick anything in there.
Yeah.
There you go. Put your games in there. You got a list now.
RoboCop, Contra.
Yeah. Shout out to King Trilo as well, who's running the high score challenge, the arcade high score challenges. Right now they're playing Flicky, the arcade game. And that great is game. Actually really good fun as well. Yeah, great
that
game.
It is a good game.
Man. You should, yeah. you should
we have seen some insane scores already.
Yeah, I think Pix hit, didn't he hit like 2 million now?
Yeah, close to that, I think, yes.
Yep. Insane.
That's a trouble. Wow. I love all these games, but I'm really rubbish at them.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah, yeah.
Even with save states.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good stuff.
Cool.
Cool.
Lovely. All right then, guys. Until next time, take care. Stay tuned to Retro Asylum. Meds, Chris, and Mark will be back, no doubt, before me and Steve. We'll probably be back at Christmas.
We're back with the Knight Rider episode.
Knight Rider yes, episode, yeah.
Definitely. Yeah. All right. Cool. Take care, guys.
Bye.
See you later.
Bye.
See you guys. Bye-bye.
From now on, unlike your parents were, you are the secret force of Retro Asylum.
Playing so fast, they're the only ones who can take you back in time. They play old games, they're more retro than J1 Optimus Prime. I don't know more.